sweetness went the heightened senses that made everything sharper, clearer. The absence of Sidene left him hollow, yet here only a fool would even appear ready to channel. Besides, here only a fool would want to see or smell or feel too clearly. In what was now called the Age of Legends, this had been an idyllic island in a cool sea, a favorite of those who enjoyed the rustic. Despite the steam, it was bitter cold now. He did not allow himself to feel it, but instinct made him pull his fur-lined velvet cloak closer. Feathery mist marked his breath, barely visible before the air drank it. A few hundred leagues north, the world was pure ice. But Thakandar was always dry as any desert, though always wrapped in winter. There was water, of a sort, an inky rivulet oozing down the rocky slope beside a gray-roofed forge. Hammers rang inside, and with every ring, white light flared in the cramped windows. A ragged woman crouched in a hopeless heap against the forge's rough stone wall, clutching a babe in her arms, and a spindly girl buried her face in the woman's skirts. Prisoners from a raid down into the borderlands, no doubt. But so few. The Murdral must be gnashing their teeth. Their blades failed after a time and had to be replaced, no matter that raids into the borderlands had been curtailed. One of the forgers emerged, a thick, slow-moving man-shape that seemed hacked out of the mountain. The forgers were not truly alive. Carried any distance from Shale Ghul, they turned to stone or dust. Nor were they smiths as such. They made nothing but the swords. This one's two hands held a sword blade in long tongs, a blade already quenched, pale like moonlit snow. Alive or not, the forger took care as it dipped the gleaming metal into the dark stream. Whatever semblance of life it had could be ended by the touch of that water. When the metal came out again, it was dead black. But the making was not done yet. The forger shuffled back inside, and suddenly a man's voice raised a desperate shout.
No, no, no!
He shrieked then, the sound dwindling away without losing intensity, as though the screamer had been yanked into unimaginably far distance. Now the blade was done. Once more a forger appeared, perhaps the same, perhaps another, and hauled the woman to her feet. Woman, babe, and child began to wail, but the infant was pulled away and shoved into the girl's arms. At last the woman found a scrap of resistance. Weeping, she kicked wildly, clawed at the forger. It paid no more mind than stone would have. The woman's cries vanished as soon as she was inside. The hammers began ringing again, drowning the sobs of the children. One blade made, one making, and two to come. Dimondred had never before seen fewer than 50 prisoners waiting to give their might to the great lord of the dark. The Murdral must be gnashing their teeth indeed.
"Do you loiter when you have been summoned by the great lord?"
The voice sounded like rotted leather crumbling. Dimondred turned slowly. How dare a half-man address him in that tone? But the quelling words died in his mouth. It was not the eyeless stare of its pasty pale face. A Murdral's gaze struck fear into any man, but he had rooted fear out of himself long ago. Rather, it was the black-clad creature itself. Every Murdral was the height of a tall man, a sinuous imitation of a man, as alike as though cast in one mold. This one stood head and shoulders taller.
"I will take you to the great lord," the Murdral said. "I am Shaidar Haran."
It turned away and began climbing the mountain, like a serpent in its fluid motion. Its inky cloak hung unnaturally still, without even a ripple. Dimandred hesitated before following. Half-men's names were always in the Trolloc's tongue-wrenching language. Shaidar Haran came from what people now name the Old Tongue. It meant Hand of the Dark. Another surprise. And Dimandred did not like surprises, especially not at Shale Ghul. The entry into the mountain could have been one of the scattered